AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
Do not underestimate this grand final. AJ, I'm the only one in the room that has a team in the grand final.
I know.
Do you understand that?
I know, it's massive.
The Cowboys, yeah. And the Cowboys doing it without their big players, doing it without JT. Michael Morgan stepping up. It is incredible. It is going to be such a good day. You've got the AFL Saturday, Sunday, the big GF, Cowboys v. the Storm. Who's going to win? There's only one person to go to. King Wally Lewis himself, and we spoke to him early this morning.
Hey, Wally, we've been listening all morning to AJ pumping himself up. His tyres are as big as a monster truck at the moment, saying that he was your boss. He ran your life. He was in charge of it.
I didn't run his life.
Well, that's what you're saying.
No.
Wally bowed to you. You should be.
He did not. Yes. He worked at CFM and I was the program director way back then in the dark ages.
We have to ask you something.
Well, what were the negotiations like when being handled by AJ the Great?
Oh, smooth, crystal clear, all the way.
I'm still paying him, see?
You think I'm going to believe that?
Yeah.
Tight, we're here. All right, Wally, look, it's the big one this weekend. Cowboys are my team. See you at the top. We can do it. It is an amazing story, isn't it? Like, it's the fairy tale story. Eighth, taking on the Storm, number one, doing it without their big key players. The Cowboys, it would be that fairy tale come true. Can they do it?
Yeah, I think they can. They're capable of anything. They've proven to themselves that they don't need Jonathan Thurston in their team to win a game, and I think that's been one of the most inspiring things for all of the players. It's been a wonderful performance from them, and I think it really does promise great things for the future.
What about you? Look at Melbourne Storm. We know that Billy Slater, of course, could be his last game. Cooper Cronk's moving on there. It's going to be the end of a very, very unbelievable era or side for them with such a great side. That's going to play a part in some role.
Yeah, it sure will. But, it could almost be a bit of an opposite for them as well. If they think about wanting to celebrate in style and have the last game, what a way to go. That could be the worst possible thing for them because they really do need to just concentrate on the game plan as it is. Stick to the same pattern that's been on show virtually all year. And not change it, and to be talking about the other guys, and I'm sure Craig Bellamy, he's been around long enough, he's got the experience to make that when he goes into the dressing sheds, he's talking about one thing only, and that's sticking to the game plan that's been so successful for them all year long.
Wally, I always think this grand final is the Queensland State of Origin team split in two.
Yeah, pretty much so. One of the guys ringing up yesterday, I heard him talking about that there was no New South Wales State of Origin players on show. Isn't this a delight?
Well, how good is it? Yeah, New South Wales haven't even got a team in, which is unbelievable.
it's very good for the promotion. You know, you only got to cast your mind back a couple of years when the Broncos played the Cowboys, and a lot of people in Sydney still say that was one of the most spectacular, fast, high-energy grand finals they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And to get that sort of rap from New South Wales certainly it was very encouraging for future teams.
Well, finally, look, we've got, you know, years ago we had the Broncos taking on the Cowboys in the grand final. We have no New South Wales teams this year. It comes up every year. Are we ever going to get the grand final here in Queensland?
Well, they're talking about it. I know that they love Suncorp Stadium. They'd love to have it there.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that that they've got to probably take a look at is when they redevelop the stadium. That's not that far away, and they'll need to take it away. I think for sure it'll end up at Suncorp Stadium. The only problem is that you're going to be around about 30,000 people less, and when you're charging, $150, $200 bucks a ticket, that does make sure that you finish a few bobs short.
Yeah.
If you can take it to the ground that guarantees that it will be a memorable grand final, no matter who's playing in it, I think they're quite prepared to sweep it under the carpet for at least 1 year anyway.
Well, just one more, just a random and not the grand final. Titans, mate. Who would you have in the coaching role? Who would you put there? Hard, isn't it? There's not many around, is there?
Yeah, no, there's not a lot of blokes that are volunteering for it.
Yeah,
at the moment.
There's not too many hats in the ring.
If you were throwing a name up, you'd put Craig Bellamy, take him away from the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, they can afford him.
He's the best in the business.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
fantastic. He really is.
Bachelorette.
Yeah, well, it was on last night, and if there's one thing that myself and my female friends are saying, we would not choose one of these blokes.
That's why I don't understand.
They're terrible. Honestly, this intruder's coming next week. I think we've got some more silver foxes coming along.
That's
good.
But
last night they did a manly challenge, but this got a bit awkward, right? The first challenge they had to do, and you, darling, would be good at this, AJ, a planking challenge. But it didn't sound very good.
Which one of you is the biggest planker?
Yes. Love planking in the rain. It's a manly thing to do.
I enjoy a plank from time to time. I don't do it every day, but, you know, I do try and fit into my routine sometimes.
Yeah, I would not choose it. They're all a bunch of plankers, I'm telling you. I would not. Seriously, they're all young. They're 24. Mm. They're all, oh, my God. But anyway, please, guys, I'm telling you, yes, I know it's difficult to read us women. I get it. There is a big difference between a sensitive new age guy, a guy that's too nice, and a guy that's just soppy McSopface.
Oh.
Please don't be corny.
I try not to.
Please. And here's Exhibit A, Your Honour. This is Jared, who brought out pot plants for these two to plant a tree together. But I tell you, it sounds wrong.
You have a pot.
Thank you.
With your name on it. And I have a pot with my name.
Okay.
Mum taught me about growing love. I thought you and I could try and grow something together from this point in, because if you and I can somehow grow that together at the end of this, then we
can. What if it dies?
Well, then that's just up to you and I.
And then I just go.
Well, that depends on how you care for it.
Oh, okay.
How you want to grow with it.
A cactus died with me once.
A cactus
died. That's impossible, apparently.
Right. That is impossible. Mm. So we're going to do small. Now, these seeds are...
I want to go deep.
You want to go deep?
But the time here is about getting to know the basics, because obviously it's a lot harder to open up in the time frame that we have.
We want to grab some seeds and we want to make some finger holes.
Oh.
And that's why I've just got to start bringing my home to her somehow.
Just grab some in your fingers. Just pinch.
I don't want to put too many seeds in one hole.
That's the best I can do to show what sort of guy I am on the inside.
Stop it.
Thank God I watch Sky Channel.
Stop it. If that's the kind of guy you are, Jared, I'm telling you, her flame is out. It is flickered. It is blown out like a candle. I'm telling you, don't be soppy. Here's an example. Oh, which example do you
want? How can you say that? Because I know.
Oh, don't.
No, come
you
on.
Don't.
Like, there's been a situation, maybe not the seeds and grew into love.
Don't.
But you were delivered a beautiful plant, a frangipani of all plants, with a beautiful photo of where that plant come from and a letter to match. Now, that's love.
It was a lovely letter to tell me that he realised what a beautiful person he was.
Yes, there's a lot of eyes in there.
Yeah, a lot of eyes. The other one is I'm sorry, but for me personally, don't sit on the bed and play me a song you've made up. And strum a guitar.
Don't strum a guitar too hard.
They go too hard because I'm telling you, women, we are like blokes. We just go, that is too much. You just, the ick factor. You know when you eat something and you get that feeling just under your ears where it's just too sickening? That's what it's like. So we want to know on 13 27 10. Give us a call. Ladies, I know I'm not the only one. Your stage 5 clingers. Your Jareds, those guys that are just soppy McSop faces.
And we could offer you up a $100 Fisho's voucher to make it not so soppy.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
Lynette's on the phone. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
Lynette, your stage 5 clinger, soppy McSop face. What happened?
Okay, early 90s. I'm in my early 20s. Meet a lovely bloke called Craig at Melbourne's nightclub and we date a few times. He was hot. He looked like the guy out of Screaming Jets. You know, brown, curly hair, super tall, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, look, we went out a few times, but I was on a mission to go overseas, all booked, all paid. I wasn't hanging around. And I got a letter from him. And I'm reading this thing going, why does this sound so familiar? I started singing. It was the whole lyrics to that Elton John song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I don't know why.
Wow.
Wow. It was hilarious.
Wow. It was a turn off?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. It was so long ago. Not really. He was a lovely person. I was on another vision. I was heading overseas. I was away for 2.5 years, as it turned out. And I never saw him again and, like, married a better guy and all that stuff. But, yeah, he was a sweetheart. I don't know if it was a turn-off, but it was very funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Thank you, Lynette, for your call.
Thanks, bye.
I know it's tough, but, you know, and I've had great relationships, but don't send, here's another word of warning, don't send a photo after we're not together of you crying. I've had one.
No.
Of a selfie of the guy crying with tears down his face.
Please.
That doesn't make me go, oh, geez, I want that manly man back. And joining us is Cam, our beautiful producer. We talked about this around the breakfast table. You've had it too, right?
Yeah, look, I had one which was a stage five clinger. So the first date went really, really well.
Yep.
Second date, I picked him up from his house. Mm. Take into consideration, this is a 30-year-old man that lives with his parents.
Oh, gosh, you're like me. Okay.
Now, he got really, really, really cranky when he said, do you want to come in and meet my whole family? I thought, buddy, I don't even know your surname yet.
Oh, wow.
Just slow down.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Stage five clinger, don't do it. Well done, Lynette. You're off to Fisho's.
Yeah, Fisherman's Wharf Tavern. Fisho's this weekend have got a big grand final celebration going on. Fisherman's Wharf Tavern, best waterfront venue on the Gold Coast. Thanks for that. And our iconic figure died yesterday. Hugh Hefner died at age 91.
Yeah, he certainly did. A man with a naked ambition and turned it into a global phenomenon. And he admitted himself how lucky he truly was.
It's about as lucky as you can get. I'm actually luckier than most people realize that I am. It's because I have not been jaded. I am not overly sophisticated. I'm not overly cynical. And the reason for that is because I have managed to stay in touch with the boy who dreamed the boy, the dream the dreams.
You're still the boy?
I am still very much the boy.
We know someone who has been to the mansion.
Yes. Yeah. How good. Lived the dream in my world.
Oh, well, and what a dream it is. Looking through the photos now, Belinda Gavin, a friend of the Gold FM family, but you have been to the mansion. Tell us, how grotty was the grotto?
Oh, my God. I've been to the mansion probably a half dozen times. Halloween was my favourite party, but Midsummer Night's Dream was always great too. And the grotto, I remember there's a bathroom in the grotto. I remember waiting for hours. I've got to tell you, it was hours for Paris Hilton to come out of the bathroom. The security had to come and they kicked her out. That was one.
Well, when you've got to go, you've got to go.
Believe me, I know what she was doing in there. It was all over the joint. and then also the other one, I was just looking through photos this morning of beautiful Anna Nicole Smith, she was always at the mansion. She was just gorgeous. She was such a little flower and so, she was beautiful and just so, I don't know, she was very special. And it was just a pleasure to meet her. And I remember meeting Hugh. Actually, I didn't meet him because he wasn't interested in me because I wasn't a blonde.
Uh-huh. Now, when it comes to Anna Nicole Smith, because she was very much Marilyn Monroe-esque, I know that Hugh loved her, but I heard you kissed her too.
She was a goer. I mean, she was a party girl. And, yeah, I'm looking at a photo of me. She's actually in some horror, so it must be Halloween horror, and she's just makeup all over me, squished all on my face. I'm going to put it up on Facebook because it's quite hilarious.
How do you get to the mansion itself, the Playboy Mansion we see?
It's not who you know, it's who you send your photos to, actually.
Okay,
so,
right,
yeah. Back then, it was still, you had to send a photo through.
Yep.
And you had to be accepted by Hugh. Fortunately, I had actually done some work with Playboy. But previous to that, my photos were on file. So the very first time I went, so then after that, my photos were called on file. And, you could never bring a guy. You only had to have one ticket. And I know someone that does things pretty much the similar way.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. And finally, just wrapping up really quickly, were there any rules in that mansion? Any rules whatsoever?
Oh, you know, I don't remember any rules at all. I loved the girls were body painted. There was hundreds of girls always body painted. They were always running around, waiting to get their gear off. The one rule was that you couldn't bring a guy, and the only guys that were there were Hef's old mates, and usually I would say B to C grade actors.
Hey, Belinda, thanks very much. It's always nice to get an insight to somebody who's been to, I suppose, one of the most popular and talked about places in the world.
Well, iconic. I don't think it's ever going to be the same, but, hey, we're going to give it a good go.
I have some big news.
Thanks for your inquiry, but I'm not going to comment on these reports.
Keith and I, we were just working on our karaoke.
He's a lot better than I thought he was. He used different angles. He was a tough competitor.
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
It is.
Just briefly, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, better known as Elaine from Seinfeld, has just been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, no.
And next month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We'll be doing a lot on that. So more to come with that. But the big story that broke yesterday, you told me actually over lunch.
Yeah, it was the Twitter feed all over the world was going off.
Hugh Hefner. And he did pass away at the age of 91, and we'll never see anyone like him. But joining us right now to speak all things Hugh is entertainment reporter, international entertainment reporter, Peter Ford. And Peter, you've been to the Playboy Mansion before, but so did you know him personally?
Oh, well, not personally, no. I mean, that would be overstating it somewhat, which I'm capable of doing, but,
yeah,
but
exactly.
not in this case. But, yeah, I certainly going to the Playboy Mansion was quite an experience because I think I was a bit, like, 20 years too late. The place had gone to rack and ruin. It smelled of cat pee. He was propped up in bed, you know. I think there was, like, an animatronic version of him in the bed. But, you know, he was a very significant figure of pop culture history and show business. History and media history because of what he did. And everybody, of course, thinks of the magazines, but it was far more than that. It was such a big brand name and still is. You know, with the nightclubs, there were movies, there was actually a recording label, there's, you know, the underwear label.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of one of those very, very good brand names which will keep going in one form or another forevermore. It looks like his son Cooper's going to take over the running of the show, but whether that means putting on the silk pyjamas and the you know, shave coat, I'm not sure.
But there's a big difference between somebody like a Hugh Hefner and a Candyman who is locally here. When you look at how they portray themselves, at least for some, you know, especially the industry he's in, which is always hard to break down and be liked by everyone. Hugh Hefner was never hated by anyone.
No, that's true. And, you know, in a funny kind of way, although I'm sure there's going to be a lot of feminist writers who will say, oh, he's terrible and he objectified women and stuff, I wonder if in a funny way he almost kind of emboldened the women's movement
Correct.
Of the 70s.
Correct.
You know, maybe they were so angry by his popularity and his prominence that they really got their act together and did become a very powerful force and achieved what needed to be achieved.
Correct.
So, you know, a lot of historians will look back at that, but, you know, he will divide opinions somewhat, but by every account, a very, very charming man. I mean, there was that terrible book that the ex wrote, you know, Down the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah.
She didn't speak highly of him, but everyone else, even in the last 20 hours or so, everybody is really speaking very fondly of him, of being such a nice man and a very, very big supporter of civil rights, too. Going way back to the TV show that he used to do, where he would insist that he'd have black and white performers on the show together, singing duets and love songs, and this was unheard of back then. You know, a lot of states of America in the South didn't want to put it to air. And even more recently, he was a very big supporter of same-sex marriage. So he was actually a very, very important figure in the history of the civil rights movement too.
Also with women's rights, and I know many an interview and he's smoking his pipe or cigar and the feminists are at him and he's saying, hey, you know, I love women and sexuality is power. Don't underestimate that women aren't powerful. They're more powerful than I am. And he you know, that opinion kind of rattled a lot of people. But one thing I found out yesterday, which I didn't know, is that he bought a plot of land next to Marilyn Monroe 20 years ago, and that's where he'll be buried.
Yeah, well, Marilyn was his very first centerfold in the first edition of Playboy. So clearly there was a great sort of link there between them. And, yes, he did, planning ahead all those years ago, bought the plot next to her, so that's where he'll be buried. Won't that become quite a tourist attraction? It already is to go and see Marilyn Monroe's, you know, plaque there, but now with the two of them, it's like a double whammy. But, yeah, very, very interesting man, and it'll be fascinating to see how history views him. We know time will tell.
International reporter Peter Ford, good on you, Pete. Thanks for that.
AJ Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.